Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Most of you know today is the last Sunday of 2013. I won't see you guys till next year. Can you believe that? All right, after you leave here today. It's the last Sunday of 2013, so I've titled my message, Goodbye Old, Hello New, right? As we travel in to 2014, we travel in to a new year. Now, the thing is, we're all familiar with this. It's that time of year where people start making their lists of things that they're going to change in their life next year, right? We know them as what? New Year's resolutions, right? It's all these things they're gonna get rid of the old self and strive for the new you, right? We have all these plans and aspirations of this new us, the trimmer, right? The stronger, the faster, whatever it may be, you. It's getting rid of that old self, striving for the new you, and to do better, right, than you did in 2013. But here's the thing that I've realized. The problem with New Year's resolutions, nobody ever keeps them, right? You know, you may last a few months if you're lucky. For some of you, maybe it's a few weeks. For others of you, if we're honest, it's a few days, right? But then it's back to our old self. And we use the excuse, right? Well, the old self isn't that bad, right? It's not that bad, the things that I do, which is basically a nice way of saying change is hard, right? It's a nice way to say that involves change, and change is hard. And we don't know if we want to do what it takes, right? We don't know if we really want to do what it takes to make those changes. And here's the thing I'm realizing. The sad thing is I think this is often the same struggle we go through when it comes to being who God wants us to be, to living the life that God wants us to live. It's that same thing. We want to be the man or woman that God desires us to be, but we're not sure that we want to put the work and the effort into what it's going to take to get there, right? Well, this morning we're going to take a look at some scriptures that challenge us to say goodbye to the old and hello to the new. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can read along with me here as we're going to read out of Ephesians 4. We're going to start here in verse 17 and read through verse 24. And the title of this section is called Living as Children of the Light. Basically, being people who follow Jesus, who live the life that God's called us to live. And so, we're going to start verse 17. It says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." But now Paul here begins to talk about us as Christians. He says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Paul starts the scripture off here talking about the immoral lives of the Gentiles, right? And how their hardened hearts have made them ignorant in the ways of God and the things that they do and the lives that they live. But then he says, "You, however." And he's talking to the Christian church, the people that would call themselves followers of Christ, the people would say that I'm a Christian. He says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Now, I like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases this scripture in the Message. This is how he says that same scripture. He says, but that's no life for you. You learned Christ. That's no life for you. You learned Christ. And then verse 21 goes on to say, surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Now, Paul here, in a sense, is saying this. He says that you're followers of Christ, right? That's what he's saying. Aren't you followers of Christ? You learned the way of Christ. You learned about Christ. You learned who he was. You learned the life that that you're supposed to live. And as followers of Christ, your lives should look different. Your lives should be different. You see, when people look at the life of a Christian, when people look at the life of a believer, shouldn't it be different than a non-Christian or a non-believer? Paul says you were taught in him. And that word taught implies a level of learning, right, of knowledge. We have knowledge. We've learned maybe a little bit. Maybe some of us are young, some of us are older. But in some sense, as we've learned the Word of God, we've learned a little bit. We've gained some knowledge. And Paul is pointing out the fact that if you've learned anything about following Jesus, if you've grown at all in your understanding of Christ, you should know that if you call yourself a believer, you should live like a believer. You should live the way Christ has called you to live. John Calvin says it this way. He says, he whose life differs not from that of unbelievers has learned nothing of Christ. Let me say that again. He whose life differs not from that of unbelievers has learned nothing of Christ. My translation, if you're still living the way you lived before you became a Christian, then you've learned nothing about following Jesus. Our lives should be different. Paul goes on to tell the Ephesians that they've been taught, and he begins to lay out for them a blueprint of what they have been taught, of how to live the way God desires them to live. Paul points out three things here that they were taught, three things that I believe we must do to live differently, three things we must do if we want to say goodbye to the old and hello to the new. Let me share them with you this morning. Number one, we must put off our old self. Verse 22 tells us, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. The first thing that we must do as believers is we have to shed the old life. Now the picture here in the translation is literally a picture of taking off old dirty clothes. It's this picture of removing the dirtiness from our life, removing the things of the world from our life. And one of the ways that we do this through the Lord is repentance. One of the ways that we shed off the old is by repenting of our failures in our life and the struggles that we've gone through. It's coming to the realization that we're sinners and we need a Savior. That's what we've been talking about, right? Christmas. That's Christmas. That's what Christmas was all about. The fact that we're sinners and we needed a Savior. And so God sent His Son Jesus for us. We need a Savior. Romans 6:6. Says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The thing is, a lot of times we allow ourselves, even though we've come to know Jesus, we allow ourselves to be slaves to the sin from our past. But the old self, it says here, it was crucified with Christ. We no longer need to be a slave to it. We need to get rid of it and put it behind us. We need to put off the old self, as Paul says. Now the problem is, like I said earlier, it's hard. And sometimes We want to put on the new, but we also still kind of want to hold on to the old, right? We don't want to get rid of the old. My daughter, I love my daughter to death, and it's been an interesting thing growing up with a little girl from the youngest of age who likes to collect things, okay? She doesn't like to get rid of anything. As a matter of fact, when we lived in Newburgh, we had given her this drawer in the kitchen that really was supposed to be for like her little play kitchen toys so that she could pull them out and play with Mama, right? So she had this little drawer. Well, one day we opened this drawer and we realized her kitchen toys aren't in this. There are stacks and stacks of these newspapers that come once a week, you know, those little weekly little round newspaper that comes to your door. My daughter would get them and collect them, and she filled this drawer up with these newspapers. And what, I think it was like 3 months ago, my wife was in the bathroom that the kids use, and she's looking for something underneath, and the very bottom is, the whole bottom of the cabinet is toilet paper rolls that she's collected and is kept, you know. Now, I will tell you this. My daughter's very crafty, and she will use toilet paper rolls for crafting and for things. But the reality is, my daughter wants to collect anything. There'll be something like pizza. Oh, I can use that, Daddy. I can have that, you know. And she wants to collect and keep everything. And her room, I don't know, it seems like every 3 to 6 months we have to go through her room and just say, no, Emma, you've got to get rid of this stuff. We it's like growing. I mean, hoarder, she would be a hoarder. I mean, she is, in a sense. She doesn't like to get rid of things, and we've had to tell her, as you know, she loves to save her money, and then she loves to buy stuffed animals and things and stuff. When she gets money for Christmas, birthdays, she's a great saver, and she buys what she wants. But we've had to tell her, you can't buy another stuffed animal until you get rid of some of the ones you have, right? You can't buy any more toys until you get rid of some of these things in your room, because she just collects anything, and her friends are getting rid of toys. Oh, I'll take those, you know, and she just collects anything that she can get. And it's a great picture, though, of us, you know. We don't want to get rid of the old. We want the new, but we don't want to let go of the old. We're afraid we might miss it, right? We're afraid we might need it. We can't live without that. But here's the thing, in the context of our life with Christ, the truth is, you will never truly live until you get rid of the old. Because as long as you have it, you will be a slave to it. That's the reality. Paul knows this. And that's why he's telling us we have to put off the old self, the things of the world. We have to be willing to give up. Do we really trust that what God has for us is better than what the world has for us? That's what it comes down to. We have to be willing to say, God, I trust in you. I give you my life. I want to put on the new. I want to live the life that you've called me to live. And I want to get rid of the old. And not just get rid of it, bury it, right? And move on. Problem is, a lot of times, what do? We go back and we dig it up, right? We start digging it up. It's like, it's a little dirty. It's okay. I can still wear this, right? That's what we do. But we have to get rid of it, and we have to move on. If we want to live life differently, you have to put off the old self, and then you got to begin to put on the new. And the second thing that we learn from Paul is we must be made new in our minds. And he says it right there in verse 23. It says, be made new in the attitude of your minds. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. Now, when I read that verse, I immediately go to Romans 12:2. And some of you are familiar with this scripture. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love that scripture, transform. I love Transformers growing up. So, you know, I love that idea, being transformed, changing into something. Yes, more than meets the eye, right? Being transformed into something. But we can't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Once we come to the realization that we've sinned, once we come to the realization that we need a Savior, that we've all fallen short of the glory of the Lord, We have to repent, and we have to shed the old. But as we do that, what really makes us different? Aren't we really, I mean, even though we take off and we shed, aren't we really the same person? What really makes us different? If I've confessed my sin, how am I going to stop living the way that I used to live up to this point? And I think it's realizing now that I know I'm a sinner, now that I know the things that I've been doing were sin, because a lot of times that's it. What's wrong with this? When it becomes a realization, we begin to understand that what we've been doing is sin, when we realize that we're a sinner, and we realize the things that we've been doing is sin, now we know the consequences of the sin in our life. We know the consequences of if we continue to go back and unbury that stuff, if we continue to live that life, we begin to see and understand the consequences. The reality is our thought process needs to change. My mind needs to be made new so I no longer think like the world thinks, so I no longer process like the world processes. But instead I begin to think and process in the ways of Christ and begin to grow in my understanding and knowledge of His Word and His truth. And to be honest with you, this kind of change, this kind of transformation can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. When we give our lives fully to Jesus and allow Him to come in and we give Him access of our lives, that allows the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out by the renewing of our minds. Because here's the thing, when we walk through these steps, I gave you step one, step two, but a lot of times we get it backwards. A lot of times we do one and we try to jump to three. Let me give you three. Verse 24 gives us the third thing. It says, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The third thing is we must put on the new self, right? And I've come to understand that this is the act of actually living out that life. The putting on the new self is beginning to walk out the life of Christ in our new lives. The new self, it's the outward expression, right, of an inward change that's taking place in our lives. It's living out and fulfilling the mission God has for each of us. But here's what I was saying about the fact that I think a lot of times we get it backwards. I think a lot of times we jump from one to three and we put on the new appearance, a new appearance, right, of the new self. We try to jump to this number three who has it all together, who's the good Christian, but in reality nothing's changed on the inside. We're just have this facade on the outside. But on the inside we're still the same. Now, if you've been around, you've heard me share some of the stories of my life and growing up. You know, I was the good little Christian kid, right? You see, I was the kind of kid that I wanted to please my parents. And I was good at giving the appearance of having it all together. I remember my junior, senior year in my youth group, you know, Darren, you know, oh, good Christian kid, you know, all the moms wanted their daughters to marry me. Because look at, oh, Darren doesn't get in trouble. Darren doesn't do bad things. Darren's got his life together. Everyone thought I was this perfect little church kid. But the reality is, on the inside, I wasn't at all what I was on the outside. I was messed up. I was struggling with secret sins and struggles in my life that I did when no one was around, that I kept secret from everyone else. And though I wanted to live differently, on the inside I was failing to see real change in my life. My life was backwards. I had it all backwards. My life literally was, in a sense, a lie. Because I had this appearance that I was this good Christian kid, but I knew I wasn't. things I was doing and involved in, and the things which led to me later falling hard in my relationship with the Lord in the Marine Corps. You've heard me talk about it. I was trying to put on this appearance of a new life, but I wasn't allowing the Lord to come in and really change me from the inside out. You see, to truly live differently, it takes the willingness to walk through these steps. To really walk through the steps, to not jump from 1 to 3 and to put this belief that your life is together, but to really walk through and allow God to change us. Putting off the old self, saying goodbye, truly saying goodbye to the things of the world. Now, does that mean that we're never going to sin again? Does that mean that when we become Christians, we should just immediately have everything perfect and all together? No. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. But it's doing our best to give up the things that aren't of God. It's seeking to say goodbye to the things that pull us down and keep us from living the life that God has called us to live. It's putting off the old, and then the most important part, the most crucial part of these steps, it's allowing God to make our minds new and completely change us from the inside out. That's why it's so important that we come as we are, right? Because a lot of times we come with this fake facade. It's coming as we are. It's allowing God to change us. It's giving Him access to every area of our life, right? And allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and do the work. And I have to be honest with you, this is a challenging thing. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, some people get freaked out, right? You hear the Holy Spirit, oh, they're going to start jumping around. They're going to start dancing. They're going to have weird stuff come out of their mouth. I'm out of here, right? Because we have this weird view of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit thing, it's challenging. I've had conversations with my kids about the Holy Spirit. And it's a hard thing for a kid to grasp. I mean, think about it. It's a hard thing for us as adults at times to grasp. And here's the thing. It takes a lot of faith, right? That's why it's called our faith. Because it takes a lot of faith and it takes a lot of trust to believe that we really have the Holy Spirit in us. Really? That just seems crazy. And it is, but we serve a crazy, amazing God. And here's the thing, when we fully trust in Him and we realize that through Him and allow the Holy Spirit to come in, something supernatural happens. And that's hard for us to grasp and hold on to. But when we do it, something supernatural happens and God's able to begin to transform our lives from the inside out. And then, when we truly allow that step to take place, when we truly give our lives to God and let Him begin to show us and Him begin to change the things in our life, then we can know with confidence that we haven't just put on this new facade. Look at Him. He's got His life together, right? Because we know it's not true. You know, we know on the way to church, that's when we fight the most with our spouses, right? It's like, and then we drive up and we're like, oh, hi, oh, I love my wife. And we have that, right, that facade. I mean, that's when my wife and I, we travel in different cars now to church. Okay? We drive different cars. And that doesn't happen anymore. Okay? It's a simple little thing. Yeah. Yes, we do that too. Hey, but then we get home and we're happy and it's good. But when we truly allow God to transform our lives, then we can know with confidence that we haven't just put on this facade, but that we've truly put on the new self and are truly living the life that God has called us to live. And my encouragement to you this morning, my challenge maybe to you this morning, is that as you step into this new year, 2014, it's a new year. And that's the thing I think we got to remember with the Lord. It says His mercies are new every morning, right? Every day is a new day. You can't change the past, But you can change the future, right? And as you head into 2014, my encouragement to you, so you don't make a bunch of New Year's resolutions that you're never going to keep. But that with all your heart, you'll seek to say goodbye to the old self. To say goodbye to the things of the world, the things that continue to pull you down. That you'll seek with all your heart to say goodbye to the old and hello to the new life you have in Christ. That you'll allow the Holy Spirit to come and to do the work. And like I said, it's not easy because the Holy Spirit will begin to say things to you that you won't like. The Holy Spirit will begin to tell you things that you need to do that you're not going to like. But as you begin to do that, and as you begin to allow Him to transform and renew your mind, then you become, or then you're able to be shaped and molded into not the facade that you try to make people think you are, but you'll be molded and shaped into who God desires you to be. That's my heart and my desire. So that every day I'd be becoming more and more like Him. That every day I'd shed a little bit more of the old. And every day I'd say hello to more of the new. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this morning and for this word, Lord. I know it's just thinking about the new year and what You wanted me to share. You immediately took me to this scripture. And the reality is that every day is new life for us, Lord. Every day Your mercies are new. Every day we should be seeking to be more like You. That we should be seeking to live life differently, Lord. That if we call ourselves Christians, our lives should look different than that of non-Christians, Lord. But we can't do it on our own. We can only do it through You, through the power of Your Holy Spirit. And even as my wife shared earlier, it takes calling upon Your name, Lord. Your name that is above all other names, Lord. You are the one who makes the weak strong. You are the one that's able to come and work through our weaknesses and to turn them into strengths for You, Lord. Lord, my heart and desire as we head into this year is that You would challenge us to seek more of You, that You would challenge us to shed those things and to get rid of them, to not continue digging them up, but to release them to You and to move on, to realize that our life in You is so much better than the things of the world that we often get caught up in seeking, Lord. Help us grow in You, Lord. Help us seek You. Help us be the new creations that You created us to be, Lord. We thank You for that, Lord. And we trust, regardless of our background, regardless of our failures, regardless of what that old life looked like, help us to believe that You are stronger and more powerful than our failures. That You are stronger and more powerful than our old life, Lord. And that we can become who You've called us to be, Lord. I thank You and praise You for these things, Lord. Help us just to seek You each and every day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.